On March 26th, the appearance day of Lord Chaitanya, Prabhupada said that during the morning they would stay together in the temple, read about Lord Chaitanya and hold kirtan, and in the evening they would have a ceremony for installing Lord Jagannath. Having fasted until moonrise, they would then break fast with a prasadam feast. When Srila Prabhupada entered the temple that morning, he saw the work the devotees had done. The new altar stood in the rear of the room, above where his dais had been, and his dais was now on the right side of the room against the wall. From his seat, he would be able to see the altar very easily. The altar was a simple redwood plank 7 feet above the floor, fixed between two thick redwood pillars. A canopy covered the place where the deities would stand. Below the altar hung Haridasa's painting of Lord Chaitanya and his associates dancing during kirtan. And behind the painting was a Madras backdrop. About 3 feet above the floor, a shelf below the painting held candlesticks that would be used for articles to be offered to the deity. Prabhupada took a seat. As usual, he led kirtan and then chanted one round of japa with the devotees. Then he had Hayagriva read aloud from the biographical sketch of Lord Chaitanya from the first volume of Srimad Bhagavatam. But many devotees were sleepy, despite Hayagriva's reading loudly with force and elocution. Right? What's elocution? Elocution is very, very clear speaking, you know, very properly pronounced everything, so you hear everything very nicely. Although Prabhupada was listening attentively and wanted the others to sit with him and hear about Lord Chaitanya, when he saw that so many were dozing, he stopped the reading and held another kirtan. Then he chanted japa with them for about 15 minutes. "All right," he said. "We will read again. Who will read?" Lilavati's hand flew up urgently. "All right." He had her sit near his dais, and someone placed a microphone before her. Lilavati's reading presented a contrast to the deep tones of Hayagriva, but she was another scholarly voice. Her careful pronunciation of the Sanskrit words and phrases was pleasing to Srila Prabhupada, and he several times commented, "Oh, very nice." Lilavati was thrilled and read on intensely, determined to keep everyone awake. That evening, devotees and hippie guests filled the room to capacity. Prabhupada was present, and the mood was reverential and festive. It was a special event. The just-finished deities sat on the altar, and everyone was glancing at them as they stood on their redwood shelf beneath a yellow canopy, their features illuminated by spotlights. The deities wore no clothes or ornaments, but were freshly painted in bright black, red, white, green, yellow, and blue. They were smiling. Srila Prabhupada was also glancing at them, looking up to their high altar. Prabhupada lectured about the four social and four spiritual orders of life described in the Vedic literatures. According to one's quality and work, he said, each person has a certain occupational duty. But the ultimate goal of that duty, he explained, is to satisfy the Supreme Lord. It doesn't matter if one is low-born or poor. Material qualification has nothing to do with spiritual evolution. Spiritual evolution is that with your talent, with your capacity, with your work, you have to satisfy the Supreme Lord. Because Varnashram means according to our conditioned nature. Everyone has a specific conditioned nature. And so they're going to act according to that. So this conditioned nature then, it has its what it does. It has its activities, it has the results it gets. But the ultimate purpose of that is to please the Supreme Lord. So that would mean two things. One, that it's being done, the activity is being done with the Lord in mind. You know, ultimately it should be satisfying to Him. So that's going to be satisfying because the results are connected to Him and your identity and process you use are connected to Him. Right? Does that make sense? So in here one will think, oh, well, there's material and spiritual. I'm performing the material duty of my occupation. But then it's, you know, done devotionally for Krishna. We see it as two different things. It's actually one thing. Because for every activity, there must be an identity. You must work with the field of activities, right? There must be inspiration to work with that field, right? So that's one aspect. Then you're going to perform an activity based on that, right? That's the second. And the third will be the result that you get, right? So the field of activities, how you deal with that field of activities, and what you do with the result. So it's one process, right? So the point is that the field is what you're dealing with. But we always have to remember that Krishna is the origin of that field and us. Right? Then the activity you're doing, then it's with that field connected to Krishna, and you want the result that's for Krishna, that means then the process should be given by Krishna. Right? So it's Krishna's process that we follow. Right, it's Krishna's field, Krishna's process, so and then Krishna's result. Does that make sense? Right. So, therefore, it's one thing, but we see is the field itself. We see that's connected with whatever's going on in the material world. Right. Then after that, then you have the process that you're going to interact with that. That also is according to your conditioned nature. And then from that process, you'll get a result. And that result then is something, you know, is that's what's then given to Krishna. So that means what you're dealing with in the field, that's according to your conditioned nature and contrary to the material situation. But the attitude, how you see that, how you see the field in yourself, how you decide how to be, what activity to perform, and the result being for Krishna, that is the devotional. That's the spiritual. You understand? So you're dealing with the material energy, the material environment. That's according to your conditioned nature. But you're dealing with it with the mentality of your spiritual nature, that we are servant of Krishna. Does this make sense? Right? So the two don't need to be separated. We tend to separate. But actually they're not. You can't separate it. It's actually an illusion to think that they are separate. That's why we so comfortably talk about Varnashram and spiritual life, because technically they're the same thing. Varnashram is the form that you can see of your spiritual life. Right? Means if I have devotion to Krishna, then I want to serve Him. How are you going to serve Him? You're going to serve Him through your senses, right? In that environment that you're in. So that environment that you're in the senses, this is all the material cause, right? These are all the material elements, right? your involvement in that, that's the operational cause, right? So between you operating the material cause, you get material results, right? But your whole intention of that is for Krishna, because the material world belongs to Krishna. Right? Yes? No? Right? Or does it belong to somebody else? It belongs to somebody else. It doesn't belong to somebody else. Yes? We understand? So the two go together. It's in other words, what you see, that's the Varnashram aspect. What you're actually feeling, that's the devotional aspect. Of course, as long as the feeling's connected to Krishna. You understand? So both are there. So then if the feeling is there, then that gives the experience. Right? Does that make sense? So if the mood is devotional, the experience is devotional. Right? Though the external is going to be whatever it's going to be. Does that make sense? Yes? What do you think, Madhu? Yes? So what do you think? So is Tuesday the right day, or do you think Friday would be better? You don't know. Why don't you know? Sleeping. So then if we're going to go by quality of work, then does learning and sleeping go together? Are you able to learn while you sleep? Or sleep while you learn? Or are you learning about sleeping? What can you tell us about all the qualities of sleeping? The different categories, styles of sleeping. You must have done lots of research in this field. No? I see. So you're only, an expert in the field. You haven't come to mastery yet, where then you can describe the process and your experience in very simple language. Okay, well, don't worry. With time and practice, and some contemplation, then you'll come to that platform. Yes? Yes? No? No good. Who? Him? Huh? Both. Madhu. Madhu's no good, huh? Okay. So is it Madhu's no good? Or what he's doing is no good?
What he's doing is
no good. What he's doing no good. But then Madhu himself, who is the real Madhu? Madhu Mangal. He's the guy that hangs out with Krishna and stuff like that. So then who's this guy? Or is he the real Madhu Mangal? And all this time that we don't know it, we're thinking that we're treating him like an ordinary student when actually he's one of the Lord's eternal associates. I see. Something you want to tell us here that we're not... No? Prabhupada gave the example of Sridhar, an impoverished devotee of Lord Chaitanya's, who earned the equivalent of less than 5 cents a day, yet offered half his earnings in worship of the Ganges. One were rich, however, one should still give half of his wealth to the service of the Lord. Prabhupada cited Rupa Goswami, who had given 50% of his wealth for Krishna conscious, given 25% for his family, and saved 25% for emergencies. Suddenly, Prabhupada began speaking about the money his disciples in New York had lost, at 25% for himself, and 25% for himself, so in times of emergency, because as soon as money is gone out of my hand, I have no control. We have recently lost $6,000, not here, in our New York. So as soon as the check is out of hand, now it is gone. It is gone. Prabhupada gestured to indicate money flying like a bird out of his hand. At this reference to the troubling, entangling affair with Mr. Price, and the foolish boys and their hard-earned money gone, Prabhupada paused for a moment, then he continued with the lecture. Paying attention to Bhagavan, the Supreme Person, is practical, Srila Prabhupada said. Here is Krishna. Krishna's form is there. Krishna's color is there. Krishna's helmet is there. Krishna's advice is there. Krishna's instruction is there. Krishna's sound is there. Everything Krishna, there is no difficulty. But if you turn your attention to the impersonal and to the super soul in the heart, as the yogis do, then it is very difficult. It is very difficult. You cannot fix your attention to the impersonal. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is also said that klesho dikataras tesham avyakta shakta cetasam. Those who are attached to the impersonal feature of the Absolute Truth, their business is very troublesome. It is not like chanting, dancing, and eating. This is very nice, but that is very troublesome. And even if you speculate on the impersonal, the result that is achieved by working hard for many, many lifetimes is that you will have to eventually come to Krishna. Right? The means, since the soul is a person, trying to focus on the impersonal becomes very difficult. Right? Because to think of nothing, no relation, no interaction, no identity, no results, then becomes very difficult, right? Because it's not natural. So that's why it's very troublesome. People who try to progress on this path, it's a big difficulty because it's not actually very natural. It doesn't work very well. Yeah? What do you think? Yes? Yes? No? And then he's saying is that the person follows these things and tries to get everything to work. Maybe move it a little farther that way. How do you go? Move it farther that way. So someone is focusing on this impersonal. He's having a great problem with it. But the difficulty comes up is that if he's actually sincere and looking for the Absolute Truth, eventually he has to come to Krishna anyway. So then better start there, because all that endeavor that you put in, if that was aimed at Krishna, then that would get you devotion very quickly. Right? Because it's hard work, the impersonal path. So if that same energy was put into there, then it would be very nice, right? It would be very good. Yes? No? What do you think? So, Srila Prabhupada continued describing Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, citing evidence from scriptures like Bhagavad Gita and Brahma Samhita. The first step in spiritual life, he explained, was to hear from Krishna himself. But Prabhupada warned that if one heard the class and then went outside and forgot, he would not improve. Whatever you are hearing, you should say to others, Prabhupada said. And he gave the example of how disciples were writing in Back to Godhead what they had heard from the spiritual master. And to speak or write what one has heard, a person has to be thoughtful. Right? So it has to be thoughtful. So that's manana. It means shravanam kirtanam. Right? So the first stage is shravanam. You hear. Right? So in the process, and then the next stage is kirtanam, speaking to others. Right? And then from shravanam kirtanam, then there's Vishnu smaranam. Then you'll remember Krishna. So I've heard, and because I've spoken, then I'll remember. I don't speak, I don't remember. Right? So even in the learning process also, you have shravanam, which is hearing also, mananam, which is contemplation, right? And then nididhyasana, which is realization. So then from shravana, then you have contemplation. From that, and we see, as what we mentioned also in the other, is that there's kirtan. So you contemplate what you heard, you speak about what you've heard, Right? You practice what you heard. Right? So you hear something, then you contemplate it, practice, speak it to others. Right? Then from that process, then you'll be able to realize Krishna, so you'll be able to always remember him. Does this make sense? Yeah? Right? You know, just like you guys like to do always kirtan, right? Well, like yesterday, on the veranda upstairs, there's so much kirtan going on, no? Yeah? Like that. So like that, about Krishna, then you do kirtan. Right? So that's why it says Krishna Kirtan, because otherwise some kind of sound will be going on. But it's just a matter of, is it connected to Krishna? Yes? No? You are hearing about Krishna and you have to think, right? That's manana. Right? You understand? So Prabhupada says all these things. He just presents it in just the practical what you have to do. So sometimes one doesn't understand, one doesn't connect that Prabhupada's talking about these very, you know, traditional Upanishadic and Vedanta viewpoints. Because right? Here he said twice about thinking, contemplating. Then you have to speak. Otherwise it will not work. Right? So here also then he's putting the thing is that contemplating will give rise to speaking. Right? So speaking's part of the practice, but it also means here can indicate that speaking meaning something that you like to do. So by contemplating you realize. So then you always remember Krishna. So therefore you always want to talk about Krishna. Right? So this then also puts it into the formula that you have. First stage is hearing, then contemplating practice, then realization, you know, remembrance, and then that will then turn into speaking, preaching. Right? Does that make sense? Otherwise, it will not work. Shrotavya kirtitavyascha deyaf pujascha. And you should worship. Therefore, you require this deity for worshiping. We have to speak, we have to hear, we have to worship, pujascha. And we do this, and we should do this occasionally? No, nityada, regularly. Regularly. This is the process. So, anyone who adopts this process, he can understand the absolute truth. This is the clear declaration of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you very much. Any question? So Prabhupada's taken this verse, and then from the verse he explains all the different parts. Right? From explaining those different parts, then everything, then he's, you know, bringing it through these stages. Because the verses are there because somebody, some prominent personality, like Krishna, the great sages, they have presented it this way, right? Therefore, it's done. So then he's going through. So the point is pujascha, that regularly are worshiping the deity. But before that, then one must be hearing and chanting about the Lord. Why late? You went to the toilet. So you decided it was better to go to the toilet than bring the toilet here with you. Yes. The toilet's very big, hard to carry around. Easier to leave it there and go there, no? A young boy raised his hand and began earnestly, "Well, you mentioned about how we should follow the supreme law, how we should be like what your spirit tells you, or what you, your supreme, whatever it tells you. I mean, whatever it tells you. I mean, if you meditate a lot, you feel you should do something." Prabhupada, it is not something. It must be actual fact. Boy, yeah, I mean like, Prabhupada, so there's no question of something. Boy, well, I see, Prabhupada, something is vague. You must speak, what is that something? Boy, well, let's say, Prabhupada, that you cannot express, right? Because it's just a feeling. Well, you know, that supreme and you and yes, and that's something they can't say. Prabhupada's point is that something is a person. And that, and you're dealing with a person, has to be practical, straightforward, right? So how to do that? So just this vagueness of yes, you just leave it, it's your own experience, your own feeling. But that your own feeling should be part of a relationship, right? If you're with somebody and only you're experiencing something, then how will it be a relationship, right? Because that something, that feeling is connected to a person. Yes, no? That feeling, you know, the guy comes along and throws the ball and it bounces off your head, right? So you get upset, that feeling, right? But that feeling is connected to something or someone. So something someone. Threw the ball that bounced off your head. Someone, yes, you understand? So like that, we naturally think. So in the same way in philosophy and spiritual, it's the same thing. It's not different. You have to remember the material is a reflection of the spiritual. Right? Not the other way around. Right? Spiritual doesn't come from material. God does not come from man's idea. God's already there. We just have to bring our idea in line with who God actually is. Right? No? Yes? Just like you may have your idea, right? You know, Jagannath's 10 foot tall, 500 pounds, you know, like that, has big teeth, you know? Like that. But is that true? No. So you can think whatever you like in your mind. But the reality is, he is who he is. Yeah? So God, we can think of him as however we like, but actually he is who he is. So then that has to be revealed by him. Yes? No? Are you actually 10 foot tall? No. 9.5. You don't know. Prabhupada, that you cannot express. That means you have no idea. So we have to learn. That is the process. I am speaking of the process. If you want to have knowledge of the absolute truth, the first thing is faith. Then you must be thoughtful. Then you must be devoted. And you must hear from authentic sources. These are the different methods. And when you come to the ultimate knowledge from Brahman platform to Paramatma platform, and then to the spiritual absolute personality of Godhead, then your duty shall be satisfy the supreme personality of Godhead. That is the perfection of your active life. These are the processes, and it is concluded that everyone, never mind what he is, his duty is to satisfy the supreme personality of Godhead. Right? So here he's gone through this, he's showing the processes, he's throwing the technical processes. That you, if you're going to actually learn about the absolute truth, first there must be faith. Well, actually, before faith, you have to actually be awake, right? Then in that awakened state, then you can have faith, right? And then from that faith, then what do you say? You must be thoughtful, right? You have faith, you've heard something, then you must be thoughtful about it. Right, then having thought about it, then you devote yourself. Right? So then you'll start the process. And then you must hear from authentic sources. Then that will be sadhu sangha. So in the process of shraddha, that means that basic faith must be there. You contemplate it, and then you must commit yourself to it. Right? So this shraddha, how do you say? Shraddha is faith, right? Shraddha then has these three aspects, these three stages. Then that brings you to sadhu sangha. So Prabhupada's then giving these. Then in that you're going to learn about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we're going to situate ourselves in seeing God in everything and all like this. Then how he is operating, how he is in control of the material world, how everything is working nicely, and then ultimately how he as a person will surrender to him as a person. Right? So all that will happen. So that process then we will then take up that process. We will become situated in that process. We'll get a taste and attachment for that process. Right? Does everybody go to bed on time? Yes? No? What time do you go to bed last night? 7:30. Something like that. Anywhere between 7:30 and 10 o'clock, right? At what time did you start going to bed? Okay, so why don't you try tomorrow 7 o'clock? Now, you know, first you get your bed and do the elephant thing on the roof, you know, like that, and then go down and come up a few times, and then once you're tired of the elephant thing, you know, then go to sleep. Why you're laughing? Oh, you're thinking that the example is also personally fitting to the how it was applied, or as opposed to a generic. Oh, okay. You mean he's the third one? Yeah, the really big one, then the medium one, and then he's the smaller one. You know, the funny thing is, though, when elephants walk, they're very careful when they put their feet down. So I'm sure if you put an elephant on the roof, you wouldn't hear it moving around. So I'm not sure why they... Why is it the other two elephants are quiet and you're not? You don't. I can't hear. He doesn't run around. No, we're not talking about running. We're talking about stumping. You stump around on the roof. He's not the stumper. Who's the stumper? So they're bouncing on their head? Oh, they do headstands and then their feet fall down. And so why would they be doing a headstand before going to sleep?
No, they're using these machines to make put the balls inside the new temple.
Uh-huh.
It's making so much noise disturbance, so trying to find alternative, you know, very nature-friendly way of putting the poles inside.
Oh, I see. Okay. Then you would think that when they're on their head, then they would bounce a bit or something. So you're not the one stumping around. Someone else is stumping around. So he, like the other two, walks quietly. Very good. So does that mean, like, Hayagriva, he can play trumpet? The others can play trumpet. You also can play trumpet.
He's lying.
He's lying, okay. But now the question would come up, is Hayagriva an elephant? Because he also plays trumpet. But he had a big beard, so most elephants don't have beards. So maybe not. Okay. And how can we satisfy We have to hear about him. We have to speak about him. We have to think about him. We have to worship him. And that is regularly. This will help you. But if you have no worship, if you have no thought, if you have no hearing, if you have no speaking, and you simply and are simply thinking of something, 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 that something, something is not God. Boy, I mean, well, you know, I'm so young. I don't know what I mean, what I meant. I don't know that, Prabhupada, don't know that I am speaking. That you have to know by this process. We are all don't knows, so we have to know this is the process, right? You know, the Prabhupada said, we all don't know, so we have to hear from authority. The Prabhupada is so clever, we're all don't knows, you know. Young woman, since we don't yet understand the supreme law, because we are young and just new to this, then how can we speak about it? Prabhupada, therefore you have to hear. The first thing is shrotavya. You have to hear. Unless you hear, how can you speak? We are therefore giving you facility to hear. You hear, then you can speak. Then you can think. We are giving all facility to hear, to speak, to think. Right? So here's, you heard something, you speak it. Then it's there, then you can contemplate it. Right? So you hear what you talk about, that's what you remember, right? Just like if I ask you what you did in class yesterday, you may not remember, right? But if I ask you about what crazy things some of the other boys did, you can remember, right? No. Yes? No. You're not sure. Are you just opening your mouth? A fly was going by, and you just thought you. You understand? Now, why is it you remember the crazy things that the boys did yesterday? Because? We like crazy. Yeah, could be. There's also, one could also, another alternative is that we possibly are crazy, right? I think you got a point there. Last time I opened it, it was like, now this time I look at it. Now he's kind of like bright red. You know, kind of like because you talk about it. Right, this guy did something, and you tell the other guy, wow, you see, he did this, so you understand? Therefore, you remember. So what you talk about is what you remember. Right? Yeah? So that's the thing, is that if that talk can be about Krishna, you'll remember Krishna. Right? If the talk is gossip, you'll remember gossip. You understand? Right? Then you'll remember. Yes? And then, yes. Okay? Yes?
Is reading equivalent to talking?
Is reading equivalent to talking?
In the sense of remembering.
In the sense of remembering. No, reading would be equivalent to hearing. Right? So either you hear it spoken or you read it. That's hearing. That's shravana. Right, then what you hear, then you talk about that to someone else. Right, you've read it, and then you tell someone else, "Oh, I read this today." Or, you know, or in your own mind, you contemplate it. What's there? You know, there's no one to talk to. You contemplate it because you're trying to get to contemplation. So by speaking it, that will reinforce it. But if not, then by contemplating, then it does. That's what you're trying to get to. Yes? No? I guess it's that time of year again. We had this last year. But that means the time when everybody is completely dead and, you know, I know. The zombie time of year. get both. Somebody in the office, yeah. We have all kinds of things here. This is the society's work. Unless you hear, how can you speak? The first task is given, Shrotavya, then Kirtavyascha, Jayaha, Pujascha Nityada. These are the processes. You have to hear, and hearing you have to repeat, chant. Then you have to think, you have to worship. These are the processes. All right, so this hearing means repeating. Right, you've heard, you repeat. That's what Prabhupada is saying, you hear it and you make notes. So that's like repetition. That's part of the process. You take notes, you write, then it works good. Right? Then later we see there's that committed preaching, that fourth stage we talked about. Right? But in this process, in here we hear, then from here repeat, we contemplate, we practice, you know, pujas cha, right? And so we're regularly doing this. Then everything starts to happen. Upendra, Swamiji, so you have to hear, I understand. But do we speak, or do we first listen for a long time and then speak? Prabhupada. No, why a long time? Suppose you hear two lines. You repeat that two lines. And aside from everything else, you hear Hare Krishna. So you can chant Hare Krishna. What is the difficulty there? Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha. You have to hear and chant. So if you cannot remember all the topics, which we are speaking from the Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, you can at least remember this, Hare Krishna. Therefore, it is the easiest process. You hear Hare Krishna and chant Hare Krishna. The other things will come automatically, right? So if nothing else, you can always just hear. Now, this is possible for everyone. Even a child can repeat Hare Krishna. What is the difficulty? You hear Hare Krishna and you chant Hare Krishna. We are not giving you very difficult or troublesome task. Then everything will follow. We are giving you everything, but you feel in the beginning it is difficult. Then you can do this. This is very nice. Chant Hare Krishna. You are doing that, actually. Hearing and chanting, this process will help you. It is the basic principle of advancement in spiritual life. Without hearing, we shall simply concoct, waste our time, and mislead people. We have to hear from the authoritative sources. Srila Prabhupada paused. The philosophical talk had been rigorous, lasting about 45 minutes. He wasn't tired, he could have gone on, but now he wanted to conduct the deity installation. Everything necessary for spiritual life was there, the temple, the devotees, the books, the deity, prasadam. He wanted these young people to take advantage of it. Why should they remain living like animals and thinking of spiritual life as a vague groping for something? They should take advantage of Krishna's mercy and be successful and happy. And for this, Prabhupada was their tireless servant. Prabhupada, so, Hayagriva, come here. Prabhupada had the devotees arrange for a large candle on a plate. The ceremony he had planned would be a simple one, with devotees and guests one after another coming up and offering the flame in circles before the Jagannath deities. This should be lighted up, Srila Prabhupada said. And there is kirtan. One must be doing like this before the deity. Prabhupada moved his hands around in the circle before the deity. You see Hayagriva. Yes, yes, Prabhupada. Yes, with the kirtan. And then when one person is tired, he should hand it over to another person, devotee. Then he is tired, he should give to another, as long as the kirtan will go on. This should be done with a kirtan just now. Do you follow? Yes, you begin, and when you are tired, you hand over to another. It will go on like that. Prabhupada from his seat guided Hayagriva in approaching the deity with the lit candle. Some of the girls tittered with nervous expectation. Before the deity, Srila Prabhupada said, "All right, now better begin kirtan." Prabhupada began playing kartals and singing the Hare Krishna mantra to the popular melody he had introduced in America. Just in front, he called out, right, because they can't feel, so what to do? They have this, you know, first arti, right? So then they have this plate with the candle, and then they find the deity, you know, in front of the deity there, you know, show. Then when they don't know, they get tired or don't know, they hand to the next like this. Just in front, he called out, gesturing to Hayagriva to stand more directly before the deities. Devotees and guests began rising to their feet and dancing, arms raised, bodies swaying rhythmically back and forth as they faced the bright, personal form of the deities and chanted. Colored lights within the canopy began flashing intermittently, blue, red, and yellow, highlighting the extraordinary eyes of Lord Jagannath, Subhadra, and Balaram. Mukunda, who had arranged the lights, smiled and looked to Swamiji, hoping for approval. Prabhupada nodded and continued forcefully singing Hare Krishna. So they all do something, you know, something there. The young hippies were enthusiastic in singing and dancing, knowing that the kirtan usually lasted an hour. Some had grasped the Swamiji's words when he had spoken of fixing the mind on the personal form of the Supreme Lord. They understood when he had looked up at the deities and said, "Here is Krishna." Others hadn't followed, but thought that it was just great and blissful to sing Hare Krishna and look at the grinning, big-eyed deities up on the altar amid the flowers and billowing incense. Prabhupada watched with pleasure as one person after another took a turn at offering the candle before Lord Jagannath. This was a simple procedure for installing the deity. Although in big temples in India, the installation of the deity was a complex, exact procedure, requiring several days of continuous rituals directed by highly paid priests. In San Francisco, there were no Brahmin priests to pay, and the many other standards would be impossible to maintain. For non-Hindus to handle Lord Jagannath and conduct his worship would be considered heresy by the caste-conscious Brahmins of India. Except for Prabhupada, none of the persons present would have been allowed even to enter the temple at Jagannath Puri. The white man, the Westerner, was not allowed to see Lord Jagannath, except once a year as he rode in his cart during the Ratha Yatra festival. But these restrictions were social customs, not the scriptural injunctions. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had introduced deity worship and initiation for anyone, regardless of caste, race, or nationality. And Bhaktivinod Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's father, had longed for the day when the people of the West would mingle with their Indian brothers and chant Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada had come to the West to fulfill the desires and the visions of his spiritual master and of Bhaktivinod Thakur by creating Vaishnavas amongst the Westerners. Now, if the Westerners were to become actual devotees, they would have to be given the deity worship. Otherwise, it would be more difficult for them to become purified. Srila Prabhupada was confident in his spiritual master's direction and in the scriptures. He had faith that Lord Jagannath was especially merciful to the fallen. He prayed that the Lord of the universe would not be offended by his reception. His reception at New Jagannath Puri. Right, so Prabhupada has this faith. His spiritual master has said this, that's based on the scripture, so it can be done. So he's going to an environment where everything that's taken as normal in Krishna consciousness, oh, in the West, no one has had, at this time, it even heard of it. let alone be involved in it. Right? What is the time? What time? So what's the significance of 6:51? No significance? Just that the class should be over, right? No. Oh, well, there's 2 more minutes by this block. So I'll tell you what. You be on time to the classes according to your watch. Okay? Yeah? But you leave class according to this watch. Okay? Then you'll always be on time and get the full benefit. But if, okay? Right, so this faith is what's making it happen. So someone can say, oh, the time is different, things have changed. That's only because of ignorance. People don't know. As soon as they know, it changes back to normal. Right? Because people do things because of consciousness. Right? That consciousness is affected by knowledge, by understanding. You change the understanding, you change the consciousness. So therefore, you change the activities. Right? So when we say, oh, everything is different in this modern environment, different is only because they are living in ignorance and practicing ignorance. You give them knowledge, then they'll practice that. It'll change. Yes? When the kirtan ended, Prabhupada asked Haridas to bring him the candle. Prabhupada passed his hands across the flame and touched them to his forehead. Yes, he said, show everyone, each and everyone, whatever they can contribute. Here, take it like this and show everyone. Right? So the plate goes around. So they take, you know, from the head and they put some money on the plate. He indicated that Haridas should present the candle before each person in the room so that all present could touch their hands to the flame as he had shown and touched their foreheads. As Haridas went from person to person, a few devotees dropped some coins on the plate and others followed. Prabhupada explained further, the Bhagavatam has recommended hearing, chanting, thinking, and worshipping. This process, which we now introduced on the advent of Jagannath Swami, means that now this temple is now completely fixed. So this is the worshipping process. This is called arati. So at the end of the kirtan, this arati will go on. And the worshipping process is to take the heat of the light and whatever your condition is, pay something for the worship. So this simple process, if you follow, you just see how you realize the absolute truth. Another thing I request you, all devotees, when you come to the temple, you bring one fruit and one flower. If you can bring more fruit, more flower, it is very good. If not, it is not very expensive to bring one fruit and one flower and offer to the deity. So I would request you, when you come to the temple, you bring this, whatever fruit it may be. It does not mean that you have to bring very costly fruit, any fruit, whatever you can afford, one fruit and one flower. He paused, looking around the room. Yes, now you can distribute prasadam. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaur